Jesus says the way to heaven is narrow and straight, and very few people ever find it. So when you look at masses of people in the church, it doesn't mean that everybody here is going to heaven. Interesting how the Bible describes it. It is only for those that listen and do what God's Word says. Doers of the Word of God.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Royal Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Well, it is good to have you with us today as Royal continues our salvation study with a challenge to honestly evaluate where you stand with the Lord. Maybe you attend church but have never truly committed your life to God. For whatever reason, you've hesitated to fully surrender to His will. Well, today as you stay with us here on Somebody Loves You Radio, you'll see how authentic faith made all the difference in one man's encounter with Christ, radically changing his life. Let's listen as Raul Reese begins.
Mark chapter 2, the Gospel of Mark chapter 2. Many times when we partake of communion, it's really important to understand that communion is something that we just don't do ordinarily, but it's something that has to be with a clean heart. And you really have to understand the consequences that Jesus brought about concerning communion. It's the breaking of the bread, drinking of the cup. And he says that anybody partaking of communion in an unworthy manner, he says it's a bad deal. He says what happens is judgment comes upon that person. And many times we really don't understand that there are people, like in the story of Jesus, and he's coming down from preaching, teaching, and healing many people. And you figure that here he's going to be sharing with all these people that are coming to listen to his sermon. And they come to Peter's house. Peter is married, has a wife. There's people knocking at the door, and people are coming into his house. And then the house becomes filled with people. And then outside of the house, there are more people. And now the whole house is surrounded by people that live in Capernaum. And they want to hear Jesus, what he has to say. And among these people are the scribes, those that are the religious leaders. And you think about people today all over the world that literally will go to church on a Sunday morning, or a Sunday night, or a Wednesday night. And what is the attitude that we really have within our hearts in receiving the Word of God? Because in the story, you will see that even though people were presently listening to Jesus, none of them received the Word of God. Only five people. They were the only ones to receive God's Word. And the reason that in the story, you see this is because these people that came to Jesus, the five that came to Jesus, one was very sick. He somehow had been messing around when he was young and caught a venereal disease and got worse and became paralyzed. And when his four friends saw the condition physically of this man, they were very concerned about their friend because they knew that he was going to die. And when they heard that Jesus was back in Capernaum, which was his headquarters, they went ahead and they got their friend together in a pallet and they carried him for miles and they came to the house of Peter to hear what Jesus would have to say to them. And to me, it's kind of interesting that when you think about people that want something from Christ, what's the reason even for us to be here this morning? He says the first type of people that come to church are those that come and they hear the word of God, but they have no faith. And when they leave the church, the word of God just dies and there's no fruit of it at all. Then there's a second that come to church and they hear the word of God and emotionally they're stirred up. And they get stirred up emotionally. They cry. They even may respond to the altar call and go forward, go back to get counseled. But then as they go home, maybe that very day or another week, or maybe a month or two, all of a sudden it says that the devil comes along and steals the word of God from their hearts because they only had an emotional experience. It wasn't genuine. And then the third class of people is they come and they hear and they want to respond, but at the same time, because of everything that's in the world and all their possessions, they don't respond. And they actually are married to the world. And they bring no fruit at all. But the fourth type that he gives to us, he says they come and they sit and they listen and they comprehend, and by faith they receive it. And they do something about the word of God, and they bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So when you look at masses of people in the church, it doesn't mean that everybody here is going to heaven. Interesting how the Bible describes it. It is only for those that listen and do what God's word says. Doers of the word of God. Especially this morning as we're getting ready to receive communion, it's really important that we understand that we should never partake of communion, number one, if we're not Christians. The Bible gives the qualification, the requirements, is the Bible says that you have to what? You have to be convicted by the Holy Spirit in order to repent of your sins. And when you repent of your sins, you receive by faith Jesus Christ into your heart. And then you can become a believer. Jesus says the way to heaven is narrow and straight, and very few people will ever find it. But the way to destruction, many, many, many go there. The way is broad, and many perish. Something to think about in the Word of God today. In the story this morning, it is very incredible. Jesus just gets back from a trip. He comes to Capernaum. He goes to the house of Peter. People are gathering together at this house where there is no more room inside or outside. This is a great opportunity. Why? Because it tells us that Jesus begins to speak the word of God to them. Let's read the story and see what it says. Chapter 2 of Mark, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 2. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, no, not even near the door. And then he preached the word to them. Notice the importance of the preaching of the word of God. Jesus doesn't entertain people. There are a lot of churches that entertain their people. The purpose for the existence of a church is to teach people God's word. So people can learn the Bible. They can learn about Christ. They can learn about the Holy Spirit. They can learn about sin. They can learn about salvation. Very important. The church is not a place where fun and games and entertainment. It's a place where we come to hear the voice of God so that we can be convicted and we can live right for the kingdom of God and inherit the kingdom of God eternally. It's not a social club. Never has, never will be. There are some churches like that. And it's really neat because when these people came, they were all non-believers and they already had heard Jesus preach before. And they like what he said. And there's a lot of times people love what people say on the radio. They'll turn it on, they'll hear it. But there's no response to the word of God. They just sit there and enjoy what's being said. But when it comes to commitment, they don't make a commitment to Christ. They don't come forward. And many times if people do come forward, again, it could be that they heard the word of God and emotionally, they've just been through a funeral or something's happened to them emotionally, so they respond, but over a few weeks or days, the word of God is stolen by Satan and they become, just like the rest of the world, no longer in Christ Jesus. There's no true conversion. It's It's really important that a true conversion comes by the power of the Holy Spirit being regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Because in the text here, we see that there are people presently before the Lord, and they hear God's word being preached. And check this out. Look what it says. Verse 3. And then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near Jesus because of the crowd, notice, they came to the house and they heard about the movement of Jesus there. And when they got to the house, imagine bringing your friend. You've been carrying him for miles now. And all of a sudden you see all these crowds inside and outside. It's like driving up into the parking lot on Sunday morning and seeing all these cars and saying, oh, forget that. I'm going back home. I'm not parking. But you know what the difference between those that came to the house and those that came from far away carrying the paralytic? They not only wanted to see Jesus, but they were persistent. Are you persistent in following Christ? Because there are people that are only coming to receive something from him. And he knows that. That when we come to worship God, the Bible says we are to worship him in spirit and in truth. God has to be real in my life. Real in my life. Completely and fully real.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Browse SomebodyLovesYou.com for biblical resources to anchor your faith in God's sovereignty and love. You can also join Rolf for Straight Talk on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel, Tuesdays at 10 a.m. West Coast time. Let's continue now with more of our study titled, A Person with a Great Need.
When you're persistent and when you really, really want to see Jesus, you'll do anything to get to Jesus Christ. You know what they did? They climbed up on top of the roof and they began to dig a hole through the roof. That wasn't even their house. That was Peter's house. And if I know Peter, Peter was flipping out when he saw that. Because you would and I would too. There was a big hole being made on the roof. But these four men loved their friends so much that they went up on top of the roof and we're going to get into Jesus. How persistent are you to get your family and friends to Jesus? How persistent. To the point of climbing on top of a roof and boring out a hole. And then taking your friend and tying him up. And then lowering him right where Jesus is. So that he can be touched by Jesus. That's persistency. Real persistency. And I think of all the people that you and I may know in our own families, friends, co-workers, that today they're on their way to hell. They don't have Jesus Christ. They're sick. They're crippled. They're paralyzed by sin, just like this man. And yet this man behind that had four friends that really loved him and were concerned about him. Really concerned about his physical problem. And not knowing that when they would come to Jesus, it would not just be a physical problem, but the problem was what? Sin in his life. Sin in our life. I mean, healing is great, but God can't heal if there's no what? Repentance of sin. That's the most important issue. He could have stayed crippled for the rest of his life, but yet his soul would have been won. Why? Because he repented of his sin. There's a lot of times people come for the healing. They come for a different circumstance, but they don't really come for the genuine gift of God's salvation through what? Through confession and repentance of our sins. We need to repent. Jesus is going to tell them that in a moment. It's really good that people can care about you. You can care for people. But having the right motive, the right reason, they want them to get to Jesus because their friend had been hurting and he was sick and paralyzed and they wanted to see him walk again. But they never ever thought of the sin issue. But Jesus knew. Look what it says. So cool. Verse 5. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." He saw the faith that they had in God, in Jesus. And by watching their faith, Jesus proclaims immediately to the one that was paralyzed, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And he probably said, "Excuse me, I didn't come for my sins, I came to get healed." But that's the first thing that you have to take care of, sin. You can walk again, but if you're still a sinner, you'll go to hell. It's only temporary. You want eternal results. Eternity is the result. I would rather be crippled or blind or whatever and be saved and go into eternity forever and ever with Jesus Christ than to see my sight, to walk again or to do whatever and to continue in a life of hell here on this earth and then end up in hell. There's a lot of people like that. Because a lot of people are pretty healthy. They got their money. They got their life together. They party every weekend. They go here, they go there, they buy this, they buy that. And yet they forget that we're going to die one day. And they can't take nothing with them. Nothing. You leave it for somebody else to be spoiled or to ruin themselves. Think about that. It's really important that we get the lessons in the New Testament, the Bible. Especially this one when Jesus, meeting all these people coming with the wrong intention. But having four and a cripple coming and saying, "We need help. And we have faith that you can do something." And when Jesus saw the hard attitude, immediately he said, "Your sins are forgiven you." And guess what? The scribes heard that and they went crazy. Watch what he says in verse 6. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Notice they did not recognize him as God. He was God incarnate in the flesh. They denied the fact that he was God incarnate in the flesh. And yet God was in their midst, and so many people missed the boat. It's crazy that they can be sitting in a service, hearing the Bible study, hearing the Word of God, the Holy Spirit speaking, and yet not respond to the truth, but they will respond to falseness and to deception. And they'll respond to the devil, but they won't respond to God. That was the scribes. Right in their midst, he spoke truth to them, and they denied the truth. And then check this out. Verse 8. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts?" Where was the problem? The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who could know it? I, the Lord, know your hearts. You have a bad heart. That's what Jesus said. That's why you can't see clearly. That's why you can't believe. And it's really important that we understand the power of God. The number one, you and I cannot ever convert anybody. We can't save anybody. The only one that can save is Jesus. And the way he saves people is he allows the Holy Spirit to bring conviction in our lives for whatever we're doing against God. And when conviction comes, then we have two choices, either to repent or to remain the same person and to continue to enjoy your sin until you die. But if you choose to repent and you choose to serve God and you choose eternal life, tremendous benefits are given to you. And I love the way the scribes rejected it. The people were admiring what's going on, but these four and the parallel guy, what happened? The paralyzed guys, they had the right heart and the right attitude. Look what Jesus says to them. Verse 9. He said, "Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, get up and take your bed and walk. But that you may know that I am the Son of Man and that I have power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, take up your bed, and go home. Imagine that, just blew them away. Not only do I forgive you, walk. Start a new life. Go home and go tell others about me. That's what it's all about, my friends. That's what it's all about, being a Christian. And it's important that we understand that people have many great needs. The most important need in anybody's life is eternity. Where are you going to spend it? Heaven or hell? You have to make up your mind where you want to go. You can be a church person. You can be religious. You can worship Buddha. You can worship Krishna. You can read Socrates and Plato and all those things intellectually. You can do whatever you want in this world, and none of those things will ever, ever, ever give you salvation. There's only one way to salvation and only one person, Jesus Christ. He's the only way, the only truth, and the only life. He's the only one that can forgive sins, and he's the only one that can make you walk again. He's the only one that can make you see clearly. When he got up and started walking, you know what happened? Listen to the last verse, what it says. It's so cool. And immediately, he got up, he took his bed, he went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. We never saw anything like this. And yet, guess what? None of them received Christ. Even with a miracle. They didn't get it. Many people don't get it until it's too late. I would pray this morning as we partake of communion, that before you partake of the bread and the cup, that you would be like this layman, the one that was paralyzed in sin. That if you're here for the first time and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to partake of communion with us if you repent, if you receive Christ. Otherwise, if you take the bread and the cup without Christ, you're bringing to yourself great condemnation and damnation, the Bible says. He says, Paul says, this is the reason that many are weak and sick, and many have even died because they partook of the bread and the cup in an unworthy manner. We have to be careful when we take communion.
We've seen today that responses to God's truth vary widely. But for those who genuinely, fully receive the good news of the gospel, the result is always the same, new life in Christ. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson was titled, A Person with a Great Need. We'll be happy to send you a copy with much more teaching for a donation of $5 or more when you call us at 800-634-9165. To help you better understand how Jesus can bring an awakening to you just as he did for the paralyzed man, we'd like to offer you this entire True Salvation series. It's available on CD and flash drive. Each of Rawls' 15 lessons illuminates God's merciful love and the plan he set in motion to sacrifice his only son in a powerful act of redemption. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order Rawls' 15-part True Salvation series. We'll send you the CD collection for $30 or the thumb drive for just $20. Our number once again is 800-634-9165. Or you can write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We are a listener-supported ministry. Every tax-deductible gift makes it possible for us to keep sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus. Well, next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll continue this series by looking to the example of an elderly man named Simeon for inspiration to seek out our life-giving Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with a closing prayer, here's Raul.
Father, I come before you this morning to thank you so much for your love and for your grace and for your mercies that you give to us. And Lord, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you right now would speak to each person that is here and that you would teach us, lead us, guide us into all truth. If there's anybody here this morning, male, female, young, old, I don't care who you are, and you want to partake of communion, but number one, you want to repent of your sins. You want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I'm going to ask you to stand right where you are so I can pray for you. Anybody here? This is what it's all about. Secondly, I'm going to ask you, if you want Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to get up out of your seat and to come up here to the front. Stand right here, and I'm going to pray with you.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.